Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Nintendo Everything Refresh, or as we should probably start calling it, the Nick and Tom Show.
2 weeks running, 50, right?
57, yeah, 2 weeks running. Yeah, this is the weekly show where we keep everyone up to date on everything new and exciting in the world of Nintendo. I'm your host, Nick Serpa, joined by, you'll never guess who, Tom Chaplin.
You everybody. Did spoil it. You did spoil it.
I did. I should have reversed the order a little bit, but that's okay. Welcome back to the show. I am slowly recovering from Summer Games Fest and writing previews every day this past week. My hands are a little sore from
A few of which are on the YouTube channel too, so make sure to check those out.
Yes, some video ones, a lot up on the site, and definitely some more coming this next week. Yeah, it's been a lot to process. I feel like I was just getting over the point of like having processed all the games that I played, and then we got even more announced this week. Not a lot, but definitely some heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're trickling in. They're trickling in afterwards for sure.
Yeah, it's the ones that, you know, they couldn't afford a slot in Jeff Keighley's big show. Had to come out the week after.
Look, that Amazon game though, they needed that Amazon game in there.
Yeah, that was the real barn burner of the show for sure. Let's get into the one that I am most excited about. Persona 5 Tactica has been confirmed for the Switch. We really wanted to talk about this game and the Persona 3 remake, which unfortunately is not confirmed for Switch. We really wanted to talk about them last week, but it was just a rumor at that point. But now it has been officially announced that we're getting Persona 5 Tactica, which is a strategy RPG kind of adaptation of Persona 5. I'm really excited for this. I do feel like we're kind of hitting the point of saturation with the whole Persona 5, like, IP. Like, I would have liked to see them. I mean, we did get some other projects, so I guess I can't complain too much. I do like these characters in this world, so you're not gonna hear me complain too much. But yeah, I'm always down for another story in this world, and I'm really interested to see what the strategy gameplay will be like.
Yeah, this is the first strategy Persona spinoff. SMT proper has the Devil Survivors franchise, which is like a Fire Emblem-esque game.
Right.
This looks more like Mario plus Rapids, to use a more current example, right? Like, this has a little bit more of that feel than like a Fire Emblem.
Yeah. It's a little more casual. But it looks like they're doing some interesting things with it. If you go and you watch the trailer, it's bringing over... It's not quite the same art style as Persona Q, the 3DS kind of Etrian Odyssey spinoffs, but it's pretty close in that ballpark. But it looks like it's maintaining a lot of the core mechanics of the base game's combat, just kind of translated into a strategy game rhythm. The boss battles that they're showing, they look great. It's got a lot of style and flair to it. And this feels like a good fit for the Switch as well. Like, this is something that I would definitely want to play on Switch versus, even though it's coming to Xbox Game Pass, it just feels right to play a game like this on a handheld.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen a ton of gameplay of it, like, but what I can tell, like, it looks like the systems are going to be pretty good. You know, we've seen very limited map design, but I think we're looking at a game with a lot of options, and you know, with a game like this, you want a lot of options, a lot of movement, attack options, and kind of ways to corner enemies, and the group kills are back. I don't know what do they call it. You can like surround an enemy with all your party and take them all out with that special animation.
Yeah, the all out attack.
All out
I
attacks.
Think?
Yeah,
something
all
like
out
that.
Attacks.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I will say though, and I know I shouldn't be complaining because, you know, it's not every day we get a new Persona game announced, but man, the one I really wanted was the Persona 3 Reload, which is the full remake.
It's not unconfirmed yet either, I will say. You know, even though it's not confirmed.
That is true.
It's not unconfirmed.
Yeah, that's true. It's not unconfirmed, but it would be weird for them not to, I guess, announce it at the same time that they confirmed 5 Tactica for the Switch? I don't know. But that game just looks so good.
Yeah, 3 Reload. I mean, of course. And it looks so good, but not so good where I couldn't imagine it on Switch. Like, it's not like, okay, yeah. That's not coming. Because, I mean, even games that they didn't put on Switch, like, Soul Hackers 2, right? That was, like, mm-hmm. PS4. Like, that mm-hmm. could have been there. Like, that's, I've played...
Probably,
game's pretty simple, which I've played. You know, that could have been on Switch, but it's not for some reason. And it probably will be, likely, one day. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been curious about that one. Since you brought it up, I know it's not a Switch game, but does that one feel more like a Shin Megami Tensei game proper or more like a Persona game? Or is it really kind of smack in the middle, which is where it kind of feels like it would land?
I mean, it doesn't feel like... I would say it to me, it feels lesser than both. Like, it just feels like there's Persona aspects to it because there's a party of, like... characters, of human characters you're friends with and you hang out with. There's like a hangout spot, but it's such a simple game mechanically and story that it is easy, and like a lot of the dungeons are like randomly like just generic graphics and just kind of abstract zones, and so there is like it just feels a little bit lacking versus either of those series, because those are like their big kind of tent poles, where this one felt like, I don't know, I mean, they were doing a sequel to what, it was on a Saturn game and it got ported to 3DS, like Soul Hackers 1, which is a very like different kind of simple game, but necessarily because it's a lot older, and then this felt like it retained the simplicity that I don't know, made it less good. I don't know, I don't want, it's a good game but not something I would like run to.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because it was one of the ones that I missed from last year. But
it like every SMT game has a great style, great character design, you know, a lot of great music, and so there's, if you want that out of it, you know, the characters, they're fun, like that's still there.
Gotcha. I think this is a pretty cool little project. I'm curious to see like if the communities are really going to rally behind it, because I don't really feel like anyone was asking for another Persona 5 game, but I do think it's a cool idea, and I am curious to see how some of it will translate into a strategy game. And it's coming out really soon. It's coming out in November, November 17th, so that's always nice. I like it. The fact that I don't have to wait too long will make me probably more interested than if this was a 3 years down the road type of project.
I have a lot of confidence in Atlus. They make a lot of great games, and so whenever I see them announce another game, I'm not as cynical as maybe another studio.
I'm sure it's going to be at the very least good, even if it's not necessary to everyone's taste. So that was one of the big releases that was really exciting, at least for me this week. The other one that I don't think a lot of people were expecting was, they're bringing over, Capcom is bringing over a collection of Ace Attorney 4, 5, and 6 to the Switch, and they're calling it the Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Trilogy. this comes at a really great time, because after the 3DS eShop shut down earlier this year, some of those Ace Attorney games suddenly became very expensive and very hard to come by. And so it's great that they're now being preserved in a package. And this now means you can play through pretty much, I mean, the entire mainline Ace Attorney series on Switch, which is awesome. Well,
let me correct you slightly there. It's not that they became expensive. They were digital-only releases in the Americas. And so they were just not available anymore. Like, there was no physical copy of these games, which is shocking. But...
Right.
As much as you're willing to praise Capcom for this, they could have announced this before everyone bought their stupid games on 3DS because they thought they were dying, like me. You know, like, I bought 4, 5, and 6 because on 3DS before it closed. Uh-huh. Luckily, they were very cheap. They were like $2 each.
Yeah.
So they're luck. They get a pass. But they made 6 extra bucks I would not have spent if I knew that there's a Switch version coming out. Because, of course, I mean, that's on the TV. You can share it. It's HD. you know, like that experience. So this is, it's so close, like couldn't you? And I know they probably could have, but I'm sure it's smart. Announce it after the 3DS eShop closes and everyone's forgotten.
Yeah, but see, here's the downside, is you can't play them in 3D, Tom. I mean, that's...
Are they even, does that feature even exist in there? I doubt it.
I'm not sure about Apollo Justice, because that one was like a port of the DS version. But right, right. I know definitely... definitely Dual Destinies was in 3D, and I'm not sure about Spirit of Justice, but I think that one was as well.
I'm gonna say that's not worth it. HD, I think on the TV, because these games are very, like, at least in my experience, games like this, like Danganronpa or Ace Attorney, are great games to, like, almost like as if you're watching a Netflix show, like, your experience together with your partner or something, or a friend. On a TV, like that's how I experience them at least. So the value of them being on TV is actually pretty high, because you're both invested, and because it's not like a high impact, like input per second game, like it's fun to do it that way, because you both can be equally, kind of feel like you're both equally playing or engaged with the game that way, as compared to like an action game or something.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I've always viewed games like this more as like books that I would like curl up with and read, kind of like, you know, before I go to bed or something like that.
Well, with the Switch, you can do both.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it's great that, you know, regardless of the timing of everything, it's great that they're preserving these. And it's, you know, probably the next best thing would just be to make a new Ace Attorney game. But who knows if that's ever going to happen.
That's absurd.
Yeah, what a concept, right?
To be honest,
yeah, I will say the eight...
I want to catch up with them. I want to catch up, so I don't want any new ones yet.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I've only ever played a little bit of the very first one, and I don't even think I finished it.
I'm in the same boat as you.
That was a lifetime ago. But I've had the original like Ace Attorney trilogy sitting on my 3DS, just like staring at me accusingly, saying, why haven't you played me yet? So
see, treating it like the nightly Netflix, the nightly 30-minute thing before bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I've been treated games like this. And I've had a good success with that.
Yeah, I think that's what you gotta do. And these Instead are long
like,
games.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Because if I treat it like a game, I feel like it's insurmountable, the length. And it's very intimidating.
Right, right. But like, you know, six seasons of a good TV show. Okay.
People will spend their whole lives watching television. Like literally, these shows are getting like 2 hours long per episode. Like, instead of the One Piece adaptation. Open up some Ace Attorney on your Switch. And...
There you go. This doesn't sound like a hard sell to me. So we don't have... I don't know. Did they give us a release date for this one? I don't think they've announced too many details yet. Just early next year.
Yeah.
Probably, if I had to guess, probably a $60 release.
Well, the first trilogy is $30. I believe.
Ah, okay.
So I'm gonna. Think
well, that that wouldn't be too bad if that was the case. But yeah, regardless,
let
I'm
me,
excited
let me confirm
for it.
That opinion. That, not opinion. That fact, just to make sure. Yeah. So the first trilogy is $30, currently on sale for $10. So I expect it to be probably similar.
Yeah, but I feel like when they launched the Great Ace Attorney. Chronicles, that was a $60.
Well, release. There was a translation cost because that wasn't ever released in English before that, I'm pretty sure.
Right. So right.
They upcharged.
Yeah, they put a lot of work into those games too. So
yeah.
So two really big releases, I think, for at least two big releases for very specific groups of people to get excited about. Now, we also got a Switch Online update this past week that has also been a little overdue. And I believe this one was previously announced, but we didn't actually know when it was coming. The big Game Boy Fire Emblem game, which here in America was just called Fire Emblem, but elsewhere is called Fire Emblem The Blazing Blade. But yeah, this is awesome. I can only imagine that this was one of those games that a lot of people who are subscribing to Switch Online for GBA were probably looking forward to this.
This is a very good game. It is not the best Fire Emblem game, but it has a purity to it, and its story is heartfelt and earnest in a way that I really appreciate. And it has a difficulty that is, it's there, but it's not as punishing as other games in the series. So this was my first Fire Emblem game I ever played. I'm glad I started there. I definitely recommend this one being picked up by anyone who's interested, because it's a, it's a gorgeous game too. It's just some of the height of pixel art animation, period, in my opinion. Those battle sequences, critical hit animations are just stunning. It has a sold a special place in my heart, even though a lot of other games in the series have supplanted it in my eyes since I played more of them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever touched this one, Nick?
I haven't touched this one, no. I do imagine it might be, the art is definitely beautiful, and I imagine, taking it, understanding, this was the first Fire Emblem game that we got in the West. Like, it's a really big deal for that reason alone. And I am curious about it. I do kind of want to check it out. I don't really know much about, the story, but it seems like you're, pretty keen on it overall.
When I played this game, and I was much younger, so I didn't experience as much video game stories. I was very affected by the story. I very much enjoyed it, got invested in the characters, Lynn and, all those, Ellie Wood and all these characters and that you meet, and the gameplay, it's the post-Kaga era, so it's a little bit simpler, which Shoujo Kaga, the original creator, had left after Fire Emblem 5, disgracefully, left in disgrace. And so this was one of those pivot games, one of the first pivot games, but it's still fantastic in so many ways. Much better than the game that comes after, Sacred Stones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I prefer
this
one.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't want to get into it, but, Sacred Stones is even easier. It's too easy, where it's you can infinitely grind. It's an open map Fire Emblem game. Where you can random missions can pop up infinitely, so you can just over level. This game has more of that classic, just really linear. Just got a story to tell. It's got a evil dragon king guy. It's very, there's a lot of the tropes in it, but it's earnest, is what I'd say. It's very earnest in its telling.
Yeah, I could see this being a good entry point, especially if it is, if you're new to this genre and the idea of trying to get familiar with all the mechanics and new Fire Emblem games is a little overwhelming. I could see this being a nice place to start.
Great point, because that's true. Since the 3DS games, even Awakening, which everyone loves Awakening, but the mechanics have gotten so complex and bloated makes it sound bad, but I still enjoy them and they're fun. But
right.
with a game like this, it really is . It's classic Fire Emblem, but it's not the first game, right? It doesn't have the same clunk. It doesn't have the clunk. Uh-huh. And being on Switch Online, you can save state, you can rewind a turn without even
nice.
You know what I mean? Game was on Wii U, eShop, that was the first time you could get it reasonably priced legally, because getting the cartridge these days is going to cost you probably $80 or something. So,
Probably.
This is a console people actually own. So unless you have a Wii U and you can buy it for $6 there, this is a great option to get it.
Which you can't anymore. This is now your only option.
Oh yeah, that's right. Closed. You know what? I don't really think about the eShop closing as a Wii U eShop closure, but a 3DS eShop closure. That's a good point. Hopefully you already bought it on Wii U. If not, play it here. And if you like Fire Emblem, this is what I mean. If you like Fire Emblem, now 3DS on, Switch on, this is a great one to go back to.
Yeah, I think this is a great addition to the library, and yeah, I think I might, hopefully at some point I'll dabble in it.
It's not too long either. It's not a very long game. It's probably...
Oh, really?
It's probably one of the shorter ones. Especially if you don't count the Lin tutorial they added to the English version, which, you know, you should play if you haven't played this game before, but most, you know, I don't anymore, so that skips like, I don't know, an hour or two from your playthrough as well. And there's replayability. You can unlock a Hector as your main character and play a different, like, kind of side of the story instead of the Lin side. So there's actually, like,
oh, really?
Extra content to this game as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a pretty meaty addition to Switch Online. Like, this is something that you could easily whittle away.
This is
time
is a real video game. Capital V, capital G. Like, you know, as much as I love Kirby Tilt and Tumble, you know, how long is that going to keep your time? Here we have, like, that's why, and you know it is, because they announced it alone, right? Like, it gets its own trailer. It doesn't get, like, packaged into, like, this kind of, like sizzle reel of four or five games. No, like, it gets it's big enough where they know what they're doing.
Yeah, this is an event, is what Nintendo is saying. This is worth celebrating. Well, if that doesn't strike your interest, I did want to mention, just because it's, I mean, we look, games go on sale on the eShop all the time, but there's really only a few times a year that there's like a really big sale. So a couple layers of that, at least here in North America. So right now Nintendo is having their own kind of first party sale, which they're calling the Hyper Max sale. And I don't know why they're calling it that, but that's what they're calling it. And, you know, it was a pretty typical discounts on there, I would say. You know, some of their first party games are going down to like $42, which is not like an amazing deal, I would say. But, you know, it's something. But the real star of the show, I think, is that I don't know if it's like an official sale or whatever, but there's just a ton of other stuff on sale right now. Like, we have a list over on NintendoEverything.com that we just put up today of everything on sale right now, and it is a like shockingly large list. Like, name any major game that is maybe not a brand new Nintendo release that has come out on Switch, and there's a good chance it'll be on here.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I would suggest looking into is, like, Nintendo-published expansion passes are on sale, which is very rare, right, when they put a sale on DLC. There's some of those, like Fire Emblem or I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance or Hyrule Warriors, I think. Like, so you get a few expansion pass sales. That rarely happens for the Nintendo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But... that's only if you have the
game.
Some of
those games
are
still expensive.
Right, but yeah. There's a lot of just like great classic games that are really cheap from Capcom and whatnot. Or like the Danganronpa games are really cheap right now. And so that's where I think you can say get a really good or great game for under $10.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I will say, when I saw this, I was thinking about it, but I really feel like we're overdue. I feel like we should be at the point where Nintendo should bring back the Nintendo Selects line and take some of these older games that are somehow still charging $60 for, bring them down to like $20-$30 maybe. I feel like it's time.
How many years did the old ones take to, like old systems? How many years in does it usually take?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it definitely was later in the console's life. I can't tell you exactly how many years.
Quick Google search. Wii U took 4 years, 2016, to start getting these, which makes sense. We're 7 years in the Switch and they're not doing it, but it's the Wii U, right? You know?
Right.
The Wii, though, it looks like 2011 is when you started getting your first. In North America, at least. This is North America days. You get your first Nintendo Selects for the Wii. So that is
5 years after launch?
That's like 5 years. So, but all of what I'm saying is like... And let's see. I'm just checking 3DS real quick. 2016 for 3DS. 5 years. But all of that is when there is a clear, definitive wind down of those system sales, right? Like, it's a big, steep drop-off, right?
Yeah.
We're not. Yeah. I just don't think we're there yet with Switch, unfortunately. Like, don't think we're
like
quite
in terms
there.
Of like there. It's just selling extremely well, and so they like, don't really have a.
Yeah, like we're not in the 2011 state of Wii, comparatively, or the 2016 state of Wii U, with the Switch. I think so. Until they get there, I feel like they're gonna kind of stay consistent, and just keep charging that 60.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I just, like, you know, I look at the list of games in this Hyper Max sale, and it's like, okay, Super Mario Party, I mean, you know, good game, for
but
sure.
But it's been like, replaced by Super
It's
Stars.
Been replaced by a new one. They're still charging $60 for it, and right now it's on sale for $42, but, like games like that just feel rife, like, you know.
Yeah,
if
but you have to remember
it by now, are they really going to spend $60?
You have to remember that Selects brings it down to 20. Usually, historically, a Select is a $20 game. And that is a leap I don't think they need to make yet, you know? Like that brings the game from 60 to 20, which is like a whole stratosphere from 40, right? A temporary $40 sale.
Yeah. I don't know if they would ever
like,
go down
but think
to
about
again,
it, Nick.
But
think about
I could
it.
See, I could see $30,
but,
you know, maybe even 40.
Yeah,
be,
but
like,
right.
People
would
get
but
excited
would it be
for that,
would it
you know?
Be a Selects if it's not 20? Because the Selects is 20, you know. And the thing, I think this is how you know if it's too early for a Selects. If they did move these games to 20, they'd be sold out in a second, right? Like, okay, done. Right. Like people would all. Where the Wii U, they could move those games to 20. They're still on the shelf, you know? Like, didn't really make too much of it.
Right.
I think that's when you know they right. need to do it, is when it wouldn't, like, immediately sell out.
Yeah, you've got good points, Tom, and I'm not going to disagree with you, but I still want them to do it anyways. Because...
You're telling
because
me, I love definitely... that.
Yeah.
I could finally try and, out... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
And, like... There's just like some weird ones. Like, remember, you know, they brought over Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. That was a port of a Wii U game that they're still charging $60 for on the eShop. You know, Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Like, some of these things, I just...
Mario
it feels
Tennis
like it's
Aces.
To me.
Like, yeah, there's plenty of games that would... I mean, any game would benefit player base-wise. But, like, you don't need to do that with Zelda, you know, like, right now. But they have, like... They've strategically reduced, like, launch year Switch games to 50 in most stores. So, like, you're not buying Breath of the Wild for 60 anywhere. Like, it's pretty much 50 across the board.
Yeah.
Same
with
Odyssey.
Yeah, if you're going physical,
right,
for sure.
Right, right. Or Odyssey's kind of similar. So, like, there is, like, some strategic price reduction, but it's usually much smaller than the drastic Select line reduction.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip at this point, right? Like, if you're looking at some of these older games, just, you know, unless you like insist on having everything digital, it's probably worth like shopping around a little bit, maybe looking on eBay for like a used physical copy, because like, even though like these sales are nice, if you're really looking to save the money, it's not your best option at this point.
Yeah, like I said, the DLC sales, that rarely happens. So in instances like that, maybe it's worth checking out the sale for Nintendo First Party. Otherwise, look at all the other games. There's plenty of good deals for plenty of amazing games on Switch. So.
Yeah. Indies, third parties, lots of good stuff worth checking out right now. I don't know how long it's going to run, but it should be going for a little bit longer. So yeah, and if you really don't want to spend any money, but you still want to get involved in Nintendo games and things like that, Nintendo has announced this past week that they are kicking off a kind of roadshow tour thing. They're calling it Nintendo Summer of Play, and they're not going to a ton of places. They're going to a couple different malls across the country. Hitting up some of the big cities, mostly big cities. if you don't live near a big city, you're probably going to be out of luck. And I'm not going to like pretend like this is the most exciting thing in the world, but it's kind of cool. It's called Nintendo Summer of Play, and basically they're going to different malls and they have some different activities you can do They're saying you can play some of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the Booster Course DLC, and you can get hands-on with Tears of the Kingdom if you haven't picked it up. They're going to, I guess, have a little demo station for that. And beyond that, it just looks like it's just like some photo op booth stuff. But yeah, so nothing crazy, but you know, I think it's a cool little thing that they're going and doing.
At like 7 or 8 locations in the country. So
yeah.
Cross your fingers if you live near one.
Yeah, the list is Minneapolis, Detroit, New York City, Knoxville, Tennessee, Orlando, Austin, Denver, and LA. So yeah, anywhere outside of that you're out of luck, unfortunately. But
that is very limited. It's almost like why do it anyway?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Can play Mario Kart 8 one track, because that's what I mean. When I'm reading the Nintendo Everything article for this, it says get behind this. Copy, right? This is Nintendo copy that we posted.
Yeah.
Get behind the wheel with Mario and friends to speed down Rainbow Road in an exciting race found in Mario Kart Deluxe. So that's one course. And then the photo ops with or Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
I wonder if maybe they're doing it because they're doing the whole Nintendo Live thing the week after up in Seattle, and maybe they just want to have like a smaller thing for people who can't go.
I'm sure there'll be other games. The only thing I can I'd be surprised if there were other games involved. I think they're gonna have Kirby and probably Smash, like other like 4-player kind of party games.
You think so? They didn't mention it.
I'm reading here that Nintendo has also said that the Summer of Play tour offers something for every type of player, for those who like to explore Kirby's Return to Dream Land or Brawl It Out in Smash. They said Brawl It Out.
Yeah, maybe. Don't tease us like this. Don't do it, Nintendo. Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, the real reason to go, Tom, is so you can get your 100 My Nintendo Platinum points. I mean, those aren't easy to come by. You know, unless you're going to click around on their website for an hour.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get a souvenir shot glass that has some 15-year-old Wario render on it.
or a desktop wallpaper for your Windows computer. That is definitely not an image that you could just Google search.
No, it's definitely not key art on a red background. That's right. Definitely not right. What I want. I can't wait to get that tea bag with Pikmin leaf on it. You know what my least favorite one is? The non-washed, like, dishwasher-safe bottle. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I do have to say this, though. I think I mentioned this to Dennis at one point. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or not. But for a while, they had some really weird stuff on there. Like, they had a, not as part of the rewards program, but just stuff you could buy from the Nintendo store. And one of the things that I thought was crazy was they had a full, like, coffee grinder that was, like, a hand crank, like, really nice coffee grinder that was Animal Crossing, the Roost themed. And it was, like... It was a nice, it was like $100, but like, it looked like a legit like coffee grinder. I was like, okay, that's actually kind of cool. But you can't buy that anymore.
I mean, that's gotta be overpriced though. I mean, if anything, the like Mario branded SD card for the Switch is just a micro SD card. They could, and it's like double the price of the normal same one without the branding. So I'm sure that's like a $20 quality grinder. But they're charging $100 for it.
It might not have been actually $100.
Last thing I got from these stores was the Mother 2 or the Earthbound luggage tag. That was the last exciting thing I got from my points, because you know you rarely ever give they rarely do Earthbound merchandise. So I took it. I took my opportunity, and that was it. I don't know if you remember this.
I don't remember those. I'll tell you what I do miss. I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but I miss when they would offer like some cool, like they had some exclusive like digital games at one point for the 3DS. Or at least, like, you could, like, I guess it's kind of been replaced with the gold points, but, like, you could, like, get a pretty substantial discount on some of them. It was, like, 30% discount. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but they've replaced that with other things now.
Oh, yeah, Twilight Princess Picross, you know?
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah. I mean, I remember the Wii U, the late Wii U 3DS era of Club Nintendo. And yeah, I got a lot of free games out of that. That was like a service I actually like, I don't know, felt like paying into and keeping up on. Or I yeah. would get like Smash posters or, you know, whatever, right? Like, whatever stuff they were giving away. But now it does seem like hit or miss. But most of the time when I log on to my Nintendo, it does feel like, I don't know, like rejected, like, products that...
Yeah, like, oh, we had some extra sticker sheets from a actual event that you probably wanted to go to.
There should be a weekly My Nintendo segment of this podcast where we just, like, make fun of what's on there.
That's a wonderful idea. I thought about adding a Shovelware of the Week segment where we find just the most bizarre piece of shovelware on the eShop that launched that week. Talk about that. I think that could be good.
Yeah. You know, shovelware doesn't deserve our ridicule because it's probably... you know, this is, like, what the difference between my Nintendo is it's Nintendo. You know, they could do better. I don't know if all those shovelware people could do better.
This is true, yeah.
So it looks like, you know, the most...
Some of them might be trying their best.
We have Zelda-themed Splatoon keychains. That's the most recent addition to your physical rewards.
Mm.
So you get a Triforce with Splatoon ink on it. Okay.
Well, could be worse, right?
Yeah. It definitely could be.
Well, yeah. Anyways, so yeah, if you're in one of those cities and you want to go play some demos of games that are already out, you can go do that. And you can get some Nintendo rewards points that you may not want to spend on anything. But, you know, could still be a good time. All right. Now, before we wrap up our headlines, we don't always talk about rumors on the show because a lot of times they're just rumors. And this is still just a rumor, but... it's a rumor coming from a fairly credible source, is my understanding of it. And this is a rumor specifically about the next movie that Nintendo might be working on. And according to Jeff Snyder, who apparently is a reliable Hollywood insider, I didn't write this article, so I don't actually know much about this Jeff Snyder guy, but we don't usually just put just anything on the site, so... yeah, but he basically came out and he said that he's getting told that they're closing another deal with Universal to make a Legend of Zelda movie with Illumination. So that would be... That's the rumor right now, is that is going to be their next project.
Jeff Snyder is the senior film reporter at Collider.com.
Okay. So there's a good chance that
This is not right. a NeoGAF or what Reset Era thread, nor is it a at handle. So, at least somebody with a job in the industry. So, okay.
Right. Someone with some actual, like, credibility at stake on the line, you know? Tom, a Legend of Zelda movie by Illumination. Thoughts? Concerns? Questions?
Well, I do want to address that, and I'm sure this means nothing, if it was a lie or truth, that Illuminations came out and said, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing as a Zelda movie. So, there is, like, usually when they asked for comment, they make no comment. Well, Illumination did make a comment and denied it. Now, that doesn't mean anything, obviously.
Right.
But, I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a mistake, and I think we shouldn't do it. But, you know, that is just me as a fan. That's not me as anything else. As, like, a fan of Zelda, I just don't want to see the movie happen ever. I'd be fine with it never happening. I think there was this era of games in the 80s, 90s, even, you know, whatever. Pick your era. And maybe we're still in the era. But I think we're out of the era, at least I am, where to feel validated, video games needed to be movies, right? Like, be accepted by Hollywood or accepted by these long-standing adult industries, right? Not like adult, but and so getting a movie was like validating, right, to the fan base of like, wow, see, Dragon Ball Z, Final Fantasy, or whatever, you know, pick your thing, a live action or a Hollywood, you know, produced kind of video game adaptation was really important. I just don't think video games need that. Video games make more money than movies. Video games are a bigger industry, enjoyed by more people than movies, and arguably a more creative space too, where, you know, you can genuinely become successful from nothing, for alone making a video game, much less likely with a film, right? A film is a lot more institutional and requires a lot more capital to kind of actually make. Even though there's plenty of examples of indie filmmakers, right? But it's a lot less hurdles with a video game. So, like, at this point, if it's not for validation as a fan, then you're, like, you're hoping it's good. Because I don't know, I'm not that invested in how much money the Mario movie made. It doesn't really affect me.
No. But Nintendo's so invested in it. I mean,
Right. I'm just talking about as a fan, right? I'm talking about as a fan. Yeah. Like...
Sure.
So the only reason I'd be invested in a Zelda movie is not the validation, guys. We don't need that. Is it being a great movie? It doesn't matter what IP it is. I don't think Hollywood's been capable of a great movie very often. Period. So that and then when it's Illumination and, you know, I don't know, have they made like a great movie ever? I mean.
I mean, it's a matter of tastes, and, you know, I mean, there are definitely probably some people who grew up watching their movies who have some nostalgia for some of them, and, you know, I mean, they've had a couple of things that were really successful.
Yeah, sure, right, but nothing...
That are regarded as, like, among, like, you know, compared to other animated movies that are coming out, like, you know, some of their movies generally tend to review better and are seen better by critics overall, but, you know, they do have a very distinct style, a very distinct, you know, not just art direction, but also the story is, like, it's not the deepest stuff in the world. And, you know, it's, I think that's where some of their concern comes in, is not just the idea of a Zelda movie, but, hey, this is going to be an animated Zelda movie by this studio that's known for just these really... you know, very just, like, story-light productions. You know, they definitely know what they're doing from, like, an animation perspective, but I do see why some people are kind of rolling their eyes at this a little bit. I definitely don't think we need a Zelda movie, but it does kind of feel like an inevitability.
Now, you tell me that DreamWorks got the license? Okay, I could point to some great DreamWorks movies, you know, like... And DreamWorks is also more willing to spend more on their films, right? Like, and you know, like, screenplay, like, actually, not always, but sometimes really matters to them. And so, but even so, then I maybe have a little more excitement, maybe a tinge more than Illumination, which, I don't know. I mean, look, do you want a hot take? I don't like it. I don't like the idea of it, but that's just me alone. I'm sure there will be plenty of people, and I know this, it probably is going to happen, obviously, like, it's going to happen, and I'm sure there's so many people that will go and enjoy it, right? It's Zelda on the big screen, and that's validating, and that is something they want. I'm beyond that, though. I didn't get much out of the Mario movie. Really, I didn't even get the, like, nostalgia, whatever, that I was looking for.
Yeah, we've talked about the Mario movie a lot, and yeah, I think, like, as, like, you know, for younger kids and for, like, super fans who are just, like, you know, all you need are some good Nintendo Easter eggs and you're gonna have a good time, like, sure. But as a movie, like, with, you know, it was not, like, the most impressively written thing in the world or anything, and I don't think a lot of people were really expecting that going in, but, you know, at least, you know, my opinion is, like, if you're not gonna put in the effort to, like, respect your own IP and make something that really feels additive to the whole you know, franchise, like, rather than just existing within it. Like, I don't think the Mario movie really added anything of value to the franchise, you know? Like, it was cool. Like, I actually, like, I had fun watching it. Like, there were some great moments, and, you know, I laughed a few times, and I enjoyed a lot of the callbacks, and the animation was great. But, like, is this really going to be the thing that is going to convert someone into a Mario fan? I don't think so, you know? And so that's kind of my concern, is, like, I'm, you know, they'll put out a Zelda movie, and I'm sure it'll be probably, you know, similar tier to where Super Mario Bros. Movie is, and I think people will watch it. It's going to make a lot of money, and I don't really think it's going to add anything to the broader Zelda universe as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense why they would do this, and the problem is Zelda has a story, and it's like...
Right.
It's like... I don't know. If they can't do the same tone that they've always done if they want us to not reject it, right? Like, they can't do the meme-y tone that every movie of these have, you know? Like, it's a fantasy epic, you know? It's a coming-of-age fantasy epic that, you know, while not deadly serious, is intentional in its silliness.
Yeah.
So...
And I mean, that's the other thing too, is like, where I think as most Mario games share a pretty similar tone, I mean, Zelda games, there's a huge spectrum of stories and themes and moods and characters, and so where do
you
even start?
You know, I just have discovered a great question though, that I want to ask you, because now this is fun. I don't dealing with the reality of this is sobering, and I don't want to. It's kind of depressing to me. But hypotheticals are fun, okay? So we don't have to pretend about the reality. If Nintendo, or whoever, was to adapt a single Zelda game story into a movie, which one would you most want to watch? Which one do you think would make for the best movie? Which Zelda game?
Oh, the best movie, like, overall, or for me personally?
For you personally. You personally. That's the only opinion that matters here.
You know, I've said it's my favorite Zelda before, so I would love to, if they made an adaptation of Twilight Princess, I would go watch it, and I would be genuinely excited for it. Because that game has, I think, a really good story that holds up. It's not, like, maybe the best written story in the world or whatever, but it's got really compelling characters. It's a little bit edgier, you know. I think they could do some cool things with, you know, Wolf Link and just the whole vibe of that game. I think it, but would Illumination make that movie? Probably not.
Yeah, I think Wolf Link is a bit video gamey, right? To, like,
yeah,
movie plot it. I to me, I'm thinking a Majora's Mask would probably be a great. Probably a better movie than a game. I would maybe, like, because it's so, like, you know? So aesthetic, yeah. And it's so cinematic. So to me, the 64 games are so cinematic. They're so intentional in their camera design, which is because it's their first, and it's probably Nintendo's greatest achievement in cinematic, like, camera work and cinematography in their entire game history is those 64 games. Other than that, though, I could see Link's Awakening being a good one, too. Those are probably my choices. As you get newer, it becomes... The games are already so close to movies, you know, like Twilight Princess. So, like, the cutscenes are so, like... The translation doesn't feel quite as... I don't know.
Revolutionary, maybe?
Yeah, like, something like that. Like, yeah. Those would be my choices. I think Link's Awakening or one of the 64 games. I think the Majora's Mask more clearly translates, but I think you could do Ocarina of Time as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, if this rumor turns out to be true, it will be fascinating.
it'll be a mashup of all of them, and it'll be this crossover with Mario, and he's going to need help saving Zelda from Bowser.
The timelines converge, and
what's with the hat
taken over by
Link will be like, what's with the hat, and Mario's like, what's with the hat on you, you know, elf boy, and then and then like some Lizzo song
and then they hug
and they twerk or something.
Oh god, you just described my nightmare, man. Oh, all right. Well, that's enough of that. This is just gonna make me sad at a certain point. let's switch gears and just talk about a couple games that got some updates this past week in terms of their release dates. Not too much to report on here, but just a couple cool projects that I wanted to highlight. So the first one, this is an indie game. It's called Koa and the Five Pirates of Mara. And this is a very bright, very high energy, kind of open-ended 3D platformer. You play as this little girl named Koa, and it's on this tropical island. There's a lot going on in this game. It looks like there's sailing. There's a lot of just exploration and collectibles, and it's a very colorful, very vibrant game. I think this looks like a blast. We've definitely seen a lot more kind of games in this genre lately, but I think this one has a really unique personality to it. And it just looks like a good time. And this one has been in the works for a little while too, so it's nice to finally get a release date for it.
The 3D platformer, such a precarious line to walk when you're developing one, right? There's so much like legacy, but it's such a like to me, like, the 3D platformer's appeal is so like amorphous and hard to like nail. It's all this like weird like intangibles that have to come together.
Yeah.
That this weird banjo like kazooie like weight on your shoulders that it seems very difficult to kind of live up to regularly for a lot of these kind of newer ones. Yeah, I don't know. I'm always like a little bit concerned if they can pull it off. And it's not even her fault all the time, again, because it feels like the appeal of the genre is so intangible because it's, I don't know, in concept, the idea of a 3D platformer is inherently a little oxymoronic because platforming is less precise in a 3D environment. So, I don't know. Of course, the game looks good and promising, like they all do, right?
Right.
Like there's a lot of passion.
Right.
No one's making these games usually without a passion for those older games. It's just a matter of it coming together in the end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, always the big questions I feel like are nailing the actual feel of actually moving through the environment, like nailing the jumping and the running so that it feels responsive, but not like too twitchy, right? Like, I feel like most 3D platformers have like some element of floatiness to them, and I mean that in like a good way. And then obviously, you know, how you have just a vibe and an atmosphere that is like nostalgic, because I think nostalgia is something that draws a lot of people to
the
these
beach theme,
modern
right?
games.
I think the beach theme is harkening back to some of Banjo's most famous beloved levels, right? Like Donkey Kong Country 64, like. You're seeing kind of
Yeah. So you want, you know, some level of nostalgia, but also you want to do your own thing, and so it can be a tough balance to strike. I remember when
Nintendo struggles, I think, a bit with the 3D platformer, like nailing that line. So it's not like it's easy. No easy feat.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember, I think it was the same day that Super Mario Odyssey launched. There was another 3D platformer that came out that same day called Poi. P-O-I. And most people have probably forgotten about it, but it was like, it in comparison to that game, it just looked like the most generic thing in the world. But I've heard from people who've actually played it, so it's actually like pretty good.
I still want to know what's happening with the Bowser Fury. That could not have just been a standalone. That was like, that game was very promising. That little whatever 5 hour thing. I really enjoyed that. Speaking of beach theme, right?
Yeah. Right.
I want to see that game. I want to see what, they can't just have like made that and that was it, right?
Yeah, maybe it was a test for what they're trying to do with Mario next. I mean, who can say really? Maybe they were working on something and then they scaled it down and it's just, it's hard to say for sure, but yeah. But anyways, Koa and the Five Pirates of Mara, I think it looks super cool, and it's coming out July 27th, so might scratch the right itch for some folks. And then the other game we got a release date for, this one was also announced quite a while ago, 2021, and we haven't heard anything. It's called the Lara Croft Collection, and before you get excited, it is before not...
Wait a second. It is
not the most
before you're excited.
Yeah. Okay, look, so people are going to hear that name, they're going to be like, oh, it's the newest Tomb Raider games, and it's not. It's not the new... you know, Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider.
Look, I'd be excited if it was the older Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, it's not those either. This is a package of two games that were originally mobile games, but they were also, I mean, they did launch on other platforms. I think they were on the Vita, PS4. These are top-down Lara Croft games. The two games are Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris. And they're a bit different. They're more arcadey. You know, there's still, you know, some puzzle solving and things like that. They're pretty action heavy, but you can also play them in local co-op with up to four people. And I played a little bit of Guardian of Light, and I enjoyed it. It's not the deepest thing in the world. And
these are very old games too, right? These are like decade old mobile games, right? This isn't just like
yeah, you're right, it probably is about a decade old at this point. I mean, I think they still like look good and they still look fun to play. Like I said, I haven't actually played it in a while, but I think it could be a good time potentially if you're open to this type of game. But I would much rather see the Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider games ported over. I think at least
they're not going to get ported. Those are perfect. That if we ever see those games, I can see the Nintendo Direct right now, the word cloud at the end of the title. I see it. I mean
maybe, but maybe not, because the first two both came to last gen platforms as well.
You know, it came to 360, if you remember that.
Right.
Which right. Was a mistake back then. I would see if they would do it a second time.
Yeah, I guess that was a good point. But yeah, so yeah, that one is also coming June 29th. So yeah, it's good that these games are being preserved. I don't think these are the most exciting things for Tomb Raider fans, but... they're good little games, so yeah. All right, so that pretty much wraps up our news. But we did get some games that came out this week that I wanted to touch on. Nothing huge. Some indies. Some games that are being localized in English for the first time. The first one is a visual novel that I'm not super familiar with, but I know has a lot of the community pretty excited. It's called Jack Jean. Or maybe you say Jack Jean, I'm not sure.
Or Jean.
Jack Jean, yes. But yeah, this is, I get the sense that this is just pretty straightforward comedy visual novel. Its general premise is you play this girl named Kisa who is enrolled in a drama school, but she has to hide her identity as a girl. And I'm sure shenanigans will ensue with her group of all male classmates. Oh my gosh. So yeah, this is probably pretty niche, but it's we wanted to at least mention it because it's a big, you know, visual novel from Axis.
I will say, the biggest value, I'm in support of visual novels coming to the Switch, and one of the biggest reasons is visual novels are great for language learners. They usually have voice acting of every line and a lot of language support from different languages. And so... it become like 3DS is like the source of like some of the best like has become after a while. A lot of these visual novel portable games you can read in maybe a foreign or second language like Japanese or whatever it's translated. And so you know, I don't know if this game supports that, but usually they do. Usually there's a Japanese games that'll support full voice. So you get voice acting. You can always like go back to a voice log or a line log. So I support any kind of visual novel, and this one looks like quality, at least the art, you know, it looks like a substantial game coming to Switch, because long term that is valuable to some people like that. So.
Yeah, and there are some other elements to it too. There are, like, you know, some areas where you're making choices that affect the story. There are, you know, it being like kind of a music themed game, there's apparently some rhythm game elements in it as well. So so it does look like there's a little bit more going on than just a straight visual novel. But yeah, this is not like, I do enjoy a good visual novel. I don't think that this is my exact genre of visual novel that I enjoy.
I'm looking a little bit up, because this game, the art is, I think the art's very compelling. I did not know that this is created by Sue Ishida, who's actually a like famous mangaka. Like he did the Tokyo Ghoul series, which is like an amazing manga series. Oh wow. So this is actually might have some actually real beef to its narrative. It might actually have some real cred and have like a serious kind of a quality and care and attention, because it's produced and designed and written by a renowned manga artist and author. So this really might be like a legitimately really cool one to like get into, if just like again, because it looks great from what I'm looking at, but then with that pedigree, I mean, if you haven't read Tokyo Ghoul, it's definitely like one of the better like Shonen Jump series you can read. And so I'm interested. Let's go.
That's good.
But hey, now I'm like, wait a second. I saw the $50 price tag. Yikes a bit.
Darn. Yeah.
But definitely wait for a sale, but to keep your eye. This actually seems like a not your average like trashy, you know, light novel in the same way, because it has
Well, and that's why we don't always talk about visual novels on the show so much, is because, at least for me, it's not a genre I'm incredibly knowledgeable about, and so it can be a little challenging to sift through the noise and find those few visual novels that are, like, really, really worth your time. You know, even for a more, I'd say, like, less, you know, specific player in that genre, you know?
Yeah, Nintendo's got a couple in their history. They ported, they got a few remakes on the Switch, too.
They do, yeah. Speaking of anime and visual novels and all that, so this next game, apparently I didn't realize this until recently, but it's based off of an existing manga.
Yes, Birdie Wing is famous for its anime. I don't know if it has a manga. The anime, I see the memes, I see the GIFs around. It's this goth anime. Sports animes are all like very intense, and the characters in Birdie Wing are like especially like psycho, and so there's a lot. It has like a pretty not a rabid, but you know, there's a dedicated fan base for it. It's funny that they're getting a golf game on here. I mean, it can't be that much worse than Super Rush. So if it can, that is one of the worst the Nintendo first party games on Switch. I'm so anti Super Rush, you have no idea. It's a low bar, but I bet it can get over it.
That's funny. Yeah, no, you're right. It is an anime. It's not a manga. I don't know too much about it, but I remember hearing that it involves like the mob somehow, and it's like just a really just like strange story.
It's a crazy anime. I haven't watched too much of it either, but like everything I hear about, every clip I've, because all I've seen, I've experienced it through Twitter, like GIFs. Every time I see a new GIF, I'm like, this show cannot be real. So one day I will probably sit down and watch it and give it a shot.
Yeah, that's exactly how you want to feel when you're watching a show, right? Like, how does this exist? I'm always down for more golf games too, especially ones that are not like hardcore simulations, which it does not sound like this will be at all. So I'm 100% here for it. Story-driven golf game based off an anime.
Oh,
only on Nintendo Switch, folks. Yeah.
This game is $20. This game probably not very good, but neither was Super Rush, and that was $60. At least one has this one has the. The decency to be priced at $20.
Yeah. Yeah, and hey, you know, Joy-Con motion controls too, so you can get the full experience.
That's a bad sign. I want just a good golf game. How hard is it to make a good golf game, Nick? You know, like the, like everybody's golf. That studio, like, I love that.
I was just gonna say, like, gotta bring those back, man.
But they, that's, it seems like Sony doesn't care about games like that anymore. And like Mario Golf on the 3DS was good, not the Switch, which is like, that just doesn't make sense to me. How is your physics engine and your golf like feel better on the 3DS? You have a console, anyway.
Right.
Driving me crazy.
Hey, you mentioned it. You mentioned Everybody's Golf, so I wasn't sure if you were aware, but it came out last year to not much fanfare. But the people who make Everybody's Golf, they brought one over to Switch that I believe is a port of one of their mobile golf games. It's called Easy Come, Easy Golf. Well, yeah, and it's basically a new Everybody's Golf game.
Yeah, you said mobile, right?
Yeah, I think they made one for like Apple Arcade, I want to say. That, you know, it was like a pretty like fully fledged one
of
golf
the
game.
Okay, but one of the values of Everybody's Golf on PS4 is like the production value and the visual, like you got a great
right
physics engine and golf engine and gameplay, but then the game's also like gorgeous too.
I love it. Like drive around the courses and stuff too, right? And yeah
that's what
I don't think this is as full-fledged, but
I want a golf game to just sit back and just play the rounds, and it's just fun. I don't want it too complicated. I don't need like Tiger Woods like sports sim complete, but it's gotta give me, I love a good golf game. I think they're great, but we already had the sports game debate
we did. yes I'm sure it will not be the last time either. Okay, this next game, just a couple more to get through. This next one, I don't know how to pronounce it. I feel like it's like French or something. It's called Dordogne.
Dordogne sounds I don't know.
This is one of the great things about this podcast, is you get to hear me try and butcher the pronunciation of games that I don't know that much about, to pretend like I do.
So Google's telling me Dordogne.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
So that's what I'm being told by Google. So,
yeah. So this is a narrative focused game. It is, I guess you could call it like a slice of life story. You're playing this girl named Mimi who is recalling memories of her grandmother and growing up in the countryside. It's all just painted in this beautiful watercolor style. I think this was actually shown in maybe an Indie World presentation.
It was. I remember us actually talking about it, and I called it a Boku no Natsu Yasumi like.
It really does have that vibe.
It's got the summer vacation vibe, the pre-rendered backgrounds, the countryside, the coming of age story. It seems a little bit more like a linear narrative or hand-holding narrative, because Boku no Natsu Yasumi is so like ambiguous with its coming of age. You kind of experience it on years. This one feels like it has a really specific character arc, and instead of like the blank canvas character of those games of Boku.
Which you know, I'm totally here for that. I love a good story. I really like slice of life stories. I really like it when developers try and, you know, tell things that are really just innately relatable to a lot of people. I mean, there's just some incredible
Examples
of that.
This game's stunning. I mean, this game visually, from an art direction perspective, unbelievable.
So,
and it's the perfect genre to tackle as an indie developer, because it is a kind of reined in intimate experience, and you can kind of capture, you know, the breadth and depth of it, even at a smaller scale, because that's just the type of experience it is, and that's lovely.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, like the main, you know, series that seems like the inspiration for this is not really a series that we have much of here in the West. So
zero. We never got one of their games, except I guess the Crayon Shin-Chan.
Yeah. I don't know if that counts or not.
Definitely does not count. Definitely doesn't. Even though it's a similar gameplay style, Crayon Shin-Chan is way too debauch. It sullies the relaxing innocence of the genre.
they're like, okay, the Americans are gonna be too bored by the normal franchise. We have to give them this boisterous.
There's so they're like that is whatever. I totally get because those games are very Japanese, and what I like about this game is, and this is why I have a lot of confidence in this game. This game is very French, right? It's very like rooted into a specific region and background and culture and. Very specific, and I think that's part of the magic of Boku no Natsu Yasumi. And what I like is they're doing something similar too. They're not just taking the genre right and the trap. No, they're talking about something very personal and to their background, and it's very like the French countryside and
right.
That's all really good too.
You're capturing a sliver of a culture that most people maybe aren't going to experience, and you're making that sliver of culture something that is accessible and, you know, potentially still very relatable to people. I mean, that's why I'm so interested in that franchise, is because, you know, like, you're right. Like, I've never grown up in the Japanese countryside, but, like, I sure would like to, like, try and relate to that feeling, you know? I think it would be really cool.
Well, because I feel like there's a shared humanity and universal kind of experience gathered from someone's specific nostalgic experience in childhood. I think then, because there is where you learn empathy, and these games are empathy simulators in a lot of ways too, so like it's just great, you know.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love games like this, and this one, if you don't want to buy it or you're not sure about it, I think it is also coming to Game Pass as well. So
well,
that might be a good
I would say if you're gonna spend $20, I know you have to choose from Birdie Wing, Golf Girl Story, or this. Definitely, I think this one. This, you know what I'm just realizing.
Yeah.
And they take on the like French impressionism too. Like it's even like rooted in the country's own like artistic, like, or I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff going on here.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, and speaking of slice of life, this is, I guess, technically could also be considered a slice of life story, except you play as a pigeon, so I wouldn't take it as seriously.
I am pro-bird. I am pro-bird games. I'm pro-bird protagonist. I'm pro it all. So
okay. This might be right up your alley, then. this game is called Fall of Porcupine, which would make you think that you play as a porcupine, but no, that's the name of the town. The town's name is Porcupine. But you play as a bird, and apparently this bird is also a doctor, and this game is a reflection, their words, not mine, a reflection of an unhealthy healthcare system. So if you want some social commentary about the healthcare system, and you want to play as a cute bird while you do it, hey, here you go, man.
There's the E10 rating warns of alcohol use, so watch out. It might be a drunk bird.
This is a drunk pigeon drinking his way through his overwhelming hospital job.
I love a game with like a writing team, you know? Like, that's what I'm feeling right here. Like, this is a game with like some writers on it. That's fun.
Yeah, it's my immediately like thought process is, I wonder if this is gonna kind of like hit some of the same notes of Night in the Woods, you know, a little angsty, maybe a little rebellious,
a little on the nose, know, perhaps.
Maybe a little on the nose, yeah. I don't know. It looks cool. It looks very creative. I struggle when we're trying to tackle these really serious real world issues in this very contradictory art style. Sometimes that works really well, but sometimes it also really doesn't. And so it's hard to tell which way this one will land, but it's got very positive reviews over on Steam. So, looks like it might be a winner. But yeah, and it's got great art direction. Really colorful and kind of has like a pastel kind of paper cutout look to it. I think this one could end up being pretty good, but we'll have to wait and see. Well, actually, no, that one's already out, so you can go play it right now if you're curious. Okay, and one last game I want to mention as part of what recently came out this week. This one is called Proto Corgi, which is just, in terms of, like, just names, video game names, that's just an excellent name. Let's just say that outright. Like, you had to be sold at the Corgi.
I don't agree.
No.
That's not...
Oh, okay.
What's the pun?
Well, okay, there's no pun.
Yeah.
But it catches your attention. No. Maybe, okay. Maybe it's just me. No. Well, that's okay, Tom. We don't have to agree on the... We can debate the merits of Proto Corgi later, but yeah, it looks like a cute little game. Not the deepest thing in the world, but it's a... it's, I guess you could call it like a bullet hell kind of side-scrolling shoot 'em up, where you just play as a little corgi who can shoot lasers at things. Nice little bite-sized arcade-style experience.
Now that's really what I like. I like the genre. I like the old school kind of shmup that's clearly inspiring it. You know, this very like parodious kind of silly angle to it. All those games are silly. But
yeah, they kind of have to be, right?
I do like that. I like anyone making a shmup these days. Hey, you could have called it, there's a pup pun with shmup, by the way, a shmup pup. They could have called it that, right? Oh. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, that's actually pretty good. Okay. All right. Yeah. I see what I mean? Yeah.
That's actually a great name. Why did they not call it Shmup Pup? Proto Corgi.
Tweet at the developers at Kimono Games. Why did
tell
you not
me that done? Tell me that's not getting like way more coverage, because that's like an easy headline.
It must have been on the whiteboard at some point, right? I don't know.
Hire me, you know? Yeah. I'm available. Let's go.
There you go.
Consult.
Mom's available, everyone.
Shmup Pup.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Bullet Bark? I don't know.
Bullet Bark is funny, but it would have to be a pun with hell. Not really. So, I don't know.
Okay,
that's
tough
one.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all the notable releases from this week, at least as far as we could find. But yeah, let us know what you've been playing, if you've been playing something different recently. Before we wrap up, we're going to go to our classic closing segment, Refresh Rates, where we talk about what we've been playing lately. Tom, have you been playing anything of note that you want to shout out?
No, I've not gotten any better at Tony Hawk Pro Skater. But I to follow up on last week's storyline, in anger of my failure, I'm blaming myself. I don't blame the game in any way. Okay? Though the only time I blame the game is they don't include the original, right? Just like we were talking with Fire Emblem, right? We're just talking about there was Fire Emblem. Go back to an older version with a more simpler mechanics, you know? Like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater Remake, it has all the mechanics. So I went and I got the old school PS1 discs of 1 and 2. And so we'll see if I fare better with, you know, the simpler, scaled down kind of old school. I feel this way about, like, Spyro, too. Like, I know that feels like a big leap, but that's when I think about PS1 games. Like, Spyro 1 to Spyro 2. Like, right. I just like 1. I like 1. It's simple. I can play it. I know how to play it. And it's the same gameplay from minute 1 to credits. Where, like, Spyro 2 is, like, a lot bigger and, like, a lot more weird, like, diversions, because that's, like, you're playing ice hockey or whatever. Like, you know, and I don't even like it. Like, I know people think it's bad. I like 1 more. I'm thinking, I suspect, going back to PS1 Tony Hawk, I'm going to find a simplicity and a purity that will pull me through a bit, and maybe not as intimidating or overwhelming.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad you have found the balance in your skateboarding game life that you were so desperately looking for.
As anyone should. Any adult should find a healthy balance between their skateboarding game life and everything else. So,
yes. Yes. That's same, good. So are you feeling more confident in your overall, like, grasp of the combos and improving your skills?
I bought these games. I've not, you know, I have to dust off the PS3, which in and of itself is probably even more intimidating than anything that the remakes could throw at me. But once I haven't actually played them yet. I'm just hoping. I'm hopeful. It's a strategy.
Okay.
But, you know, I got to get the PS3 out. I got to see if the DualShock 3, one of my least favorite controllers of all time, are charged. and then we'll see. We'll see what happens. Because this game's not even available on the storefront of PS3, right? That's the old story.
Yeah, I got
the old school disc.
Get a physical disc. And... Yeah. So you have one of the hard to find backwards compatible PS3s.
Well, like. No, the hard one to find is the ones that have to play PS2 games. All the PS3s can play PS1. There's only that first gen that could play PS2 as well.
Gotcha.
I don't have that one. Yeah. Very unfortunate.
Okay.
My PS2 games never get played because I have a PS2, but that's on the CRT. You know, as much as I love playing on the CRT, it's a different experience, and it's hard to like just switch it. It feels I have to be very intentional about my CRT playing.
Got to be in the right mindset.
PS3, sure. I can hook it up to my HD, you know, whatever, and play the PS1 game. Pretty well. PS2 kind of gets lost in the shuffle, unfortunately.
Right.
I don't have a lot because of that. I don't really collect PS2 much. I didn't grow up with it either. I don't know if you did. I was one of the rare GameCube kids.
Hey, so, I'm right there with you, man.
I'm sure. Yeah.
PS2 friend. I played PS2 games when I went over to my friend Josh's house, and that was it.
Yeah. Everyone's got the friend Josh with the PS2. Everyone's grown up with a friend Josh with PS2. Even if your name's Josh, you're either the friend who had the PS2, or you had a friend named Josh.
Yeah, or you had a friend named Nick who had a GameCube that you'd come over and play.
There was always the Nick with the GameCube. You knew him. I had a friend named Nick with a GameCube, for sure.
But there you go.
That's really...
Circle life.
You know, I really do miss those days when I think about that gen. Because it was like... I don't know. Consoles are so like... I know they're not that different. But like now they really feel like identical. And also no one goes over to their friend's house to play... the game, they just play online, right? Like,
right.
I do miss those days.
And the way you find out about games is completely different. Like, when you know how I first found out about Animal Crossing for the GameCube was I was at a St. Patrick's Day party that was like my parents' friends. I kind of knew like the kids, and we were all upstairs, and they had a GameCube, and they were playing Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and then at the end, they booted up Animal Crossing, and I was like, oh my god, what is this? And then I remember, like, you know, when we finally got a GameCube, I got it for Christmas one year, I have vivid memories of going to GameStop and looking through the racks and finding a player's choice version of, or whatever the GameCube equivalent was called at the time, like, of Animal Crossing, and I was so excited. And that was the moment that like turned me onto that whole series. It's just different now.
See, these are the good stories. You know, I did not have buying rights on my GameCube. It was my older brother's. I only had buying rights over my Game Boy Advance and DS. It was only I had the handheld games. He was all the consoles were his. So I did not have any say in the library of the GameCube. So I was given to play what my brother played, and he was like the stereotypical Western Nintendo fan. So Metroid and Smash, like no Zelda, no Mario, like just all the very like Western IP, like
the grown up stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He was in high school, and so that was exactly like it was very different kind of type of game. You know, a lot of football, sports games. It was only the DS and GBA, the portable, that were mine that I could actually get games for. So I didn't learn about Animal Crossing until, I mean, I knew about it, but until the 3DS.
You know, everyone's journey is different. Yeah. Well, in terms of what I've been playing this past week or so, it may sound a little strange, but I got this game as a gift for my birthday recently, and I was actually really excited for it. I've been playing Dead Island 2, which is the long-in-development sequel to the first Dead Island. This game was in development for 8 years, which is crazy. And, like, that in of itself made me curious. I was like, what... Like, why on earth did this game take 8 years to come out? And I know it bounced between studios a couple times, and I still honestly couldn't tell you why this game took 8 years to come out, but I will say, it's a really fun game. Like, if you enjoy first-person action games, you like beating up some zombies, you don't mind just copious amounts of gore, like, oh my god, this game is incredibly violent, like, more so than I was even expecting. But it's really just fun. And I think the thing that impresses me the most is their recreation of Los Angeles. Like, they have absolutely nailed the aesthetic and the vibe of it. Like, you start the game off in Beverly Hills, and you're going through... I mean, you are, like, meticulously combing through these just houses that are fully detailed inside. Some of the most detailed interior spaces I've seen in a video game, just like stuff just strewn about everywhere. Some really funny like jokes too, like hidden in the decor, like one of the first like homes that you can kind of like wander through and fight through. It's like, are you familiar, Tom, with like all like the content creator houses, you know, where all the like the rich people will go and they'll buy a house together and they'll make content together.
Oh gosh.
All that. Ugh. Yeah. So that's like one of the first, you go through like a satirical version of that, and there's just all types of just funny notes and stuff strewn about. The characters are all just extremely over the top, kind of in the way that like Grand Theft Auto tends to, you know,
or influencers make satire. Are.
Right, right. Like an early side quest you can take on is you like hear this old guy calling out from his mansion. You go in and he's trying to get out of the house, but he has to go down his chairlift because he's like this like old like crippled version of Tom Hanks, and he's like has to get on his chairlift to get out of the house. He has to like fight off zombies while he's just like slowly descending on his. It's hilarious. So yeah, I'm having a blast with this game. It's surprisingly great for a game that was changed studios so many times.
Yeah, I'm surprised it even made it out, but it's a good thing it did. What have you been playing it on? What system?
I've been playing it on my PlayStation 5.
Yeah, so I imagine, because I've heard it like the PS4 and Xbox One ports are not the best, but you're playing on next gen. That's like the place to play it, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, that's part of the reason why I think people pick up games like this is just to just bask in the world a little bit, even if it's strewn with zombies. But yeah, like it really isn't like just incredibly detailed and like just nails the vibe of that part of California.
That's good, because a game in such a tumultuous kind of precarious situation, you wouldn't think they would, you know, land at anything of value, right? They just kind of put out a game and be like, time
right,
to move on.
Right.
But there is, you know, I'm not saying low bar to be critical, but the first game, no, and I'm sure it's the same with this game, wasn't going for anything super. They're going for, like, almost like Dynasty Warriors, right? Like, just kill a bunch of zombies and kind of sit back and kind of relax and enjoy the show, right? So it didn't have this like high, like artistic kind of series to follow up on too. Like, as long as you're kind of making a fun game that's kind of fun and just addicting to play and it's funny, I think that's what you need. I don't think you need it much more from a sequel.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say it's innovative in any major ways, which I think is fine, you know. And, like, at least for myself, like, you know, you watch the trailers and, you know, it just shows just extremely just, like, violent montages. But you can also play this game, like, a little stealthily and a little, you know, use your brain a little bit if you want to. Like, I'm much more, like, when I'm going through, like, I really enjoy kind of, like, sneaking my way around and setting traps. Like, you can find, like, barrels of, like, gasoline and water, and you can kind of spread it out however you want, and then find a way to like maybe lure the zombies towards you and then set it ablaze and kind of trap them. And so there's some cool things that you can do if you lean that direction more with this type of stuff. I wouldn't like quite say you can play it like an immersive sim or anything, but it is relatively open-ended in how you approach it, and it's not completely linear either. Like it's not like a full open world, but you're dropped into some pretty big like hub environments where they're just kind of saying, okay, well, you can go over here and get to the next story objective, but there's also, you know, some other celebrities living in these other houses who we should maybe go check in on, and you can kind of decide what to do. And so I'm really having a good time with it, which was a nice pleasant surprise for me.
A good gift, huh? Isn't that nice when you get the free game, get the gift, and you actually play it and you enjoy it?
And it's good. Yeah, it can't be bad.
The amount of games I've like gotten as gifts and I like ended up hating. It's like, oh, and you feel so extra guilty.
Yeah, you know, it's like you gotta have like that one, like me and it's me and a close friend, and that's pretty much what we do is like, whenever he and I text, we're always talking about video games, and so we kind of both have a pulse for like what the other person's kind of looking forward to or curious about. So I feel like we're both pretty good about giving each other games that are kind of on each other's radar. You got to find yourself that special person, Tom.
Oh, that's very sweet. While I'm here just buying 8 versions of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 to get the right one.
There you go. Hey, it's whatever makes you happy, Ben. You
know? I'm not happy. This is a cry for help.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully by next week, you will have recovered from this phase that you're in. And
it's not a phase.
On to the next thing. It's not a phase. It's a lifestyle. Okay.
Tony Hawk. What do they call it? They call it thips. Thips is a lifestyle. That's what they call it. That's what the real ones call it. And you know, I know that
that's
because
gonna be trending for sure.
I kept watching these tutorial videos, and they all call it thips. Welcome to thips tips. They literally do this, and I'm like, what a great like, just like shmup pup. Thips tips. I'm telling you, no wonder you had me name refresh rate. I'm here giving you names.
You're just like on the names, man. Yeah. All right, folks, well, I think with that wraps up this week's episode of Nintendo Everything Refresh. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate everyone's support. If you like the episode, please spread the word. We are on all the major podcast platforms: Spotify, Apple Music, Audible, Stitcher, for all you big brain people out there. So yeah, we're on pretty much everything. So
what does that mean?
Because Stitcher's where they put all like the really serious like news podcasts and like just really just like very just like heady kind of stuff you really got to think about. And for some reason they accepted my application to be on there, so we're on Stitcher with all this other just extremely serious podcast content.
Oh, we can make this serious next week. We can be like super serious.
yeah. But yeah, so we're pretty much everywhere, and one thing that would really help is if you like the show, please go rate us, because apparently I've been told that helps the podcast algorithms to recommend us to more people. So yeah, and if you have anything you'd like to see on the show, we always have our official show email over in the notes over on YouTube. So yeah, let us know if there's anything you want to see on the show, if you have any topic suggestions or just any general questions. And we do go through, and unfortunately we mostly have gotten spam up to this point, so we'd love to hear from some of the community as well.
Yeah, some thips tips. I can use them.
Yeah. Help Tom out. Tom needs your help, everyone. All right. Well, with that, we will be back at you next week with everything new and exciting in the world of Nintendo. See you guys.